All right, I have 7 p.m. here on the East Coast, and that means it's time to start our monthly Catholic Radio Association live webinar learning series for December 2016. This month, our topic is on fundraising, specifically travel and earn programs, and I'm pleased to be joined this month by Tim Walter, who's the executive director of the Catholic Press Association. You can find them and get more information at catholicpress.org. And really looking forward to understanding and learning about this particular type of program and how we might be able to take advantage of it as a Catholic radio apostolate, as I'm sure many others would like to as well. We're always looking to raise funds and find a good way to make that happen. And sometimes we need to be creative. And this might be one of the ways to do it. So with that and without further ado, I turn things over to Tim Walter, Executive Director of the Catholic Press Association. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you so much for the invitation. And it's a pleasure to be here. I have to tell you right out, I'm really not used to these radio or television type presentations where I don't get to see any of the folks that I'm talking to or hear their voices. But I will carry on, all right? So it's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk to you about travel and earn programs. I think there are a lot of opportunities out there. You could take a busload of people to Branson if you liked or on an outdoor trip in the mountains. But we're going to talk about the pilgrimage as a revenue source and how you can acclimate that into your programs and integrate that into your programs. So before we go ahead, I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. Thank you, Jeff, for the introduction. I am the executive director of the Catholic Press Association. I've had that job for 8 years. I worked 19 years at a diocesan newspaper, helping them generate circulation and advertising revenue. And many of our diocesan newspapers in particular, members of the Catholic Press Association, use the model that I'm going to explain to you as a revenue source for them that's independent of advertising and circulation work that they do. So today, during our outline, I'm going to try to cover some of the benefits of the pilgrimage as a revenue source. What are the components that go into that program? Just give you a little bit of background on contractual agreements, what your responsibilities are, and I have a list of agencies, if this is something you're interested in, that we can get contact information for you so that you can conduct some interviews and decide if you can develop a program that works for you. The pilgrimage, I believe, offers travelers a very comfortable and safe way to enjoy a spiritual adventure. Everything is planned for them. They're traveling with people they know. All their transfers are taken care of. It's really almost as nice as a cruise, for example, as an option for traveling if you're not a comfortable traveler. In terms of the organization, it gives you the opportunity to travel with community members and to earn money. And always remember, this really is a business relationship. It's a partnership between a business that develops the tour and the Catholic community, such as a diocese, parish, a school, a religious order, or another organization that would like to earn some money. Catholic Press Association, as an association, ran some tours recently, and our most successful one was a trip to Ireland with a spiritual director that was very popular, and we earned $22,000 of unbudgeted income from that tour, so with about 60 travelers. So it can be a very profitable program for you. It's a mini partnership. The tour company develops a tour to your interest and handles all the financial transactions. So you want to be involved, where you want to go, who you want to see, an estimate of how many people you'd like to bring along. What your responsibility is once the tour company plans it is to help promote it. And that is normally done through your organization's free advertising. You have input on the sites that you choose, the price point, how much money you'd like to make per traveler, how often you want to hold mass, and all those kind of things. And most tour companies give the client revenue sharing choices. So we can give you cash back for every traveler, or you can earn free trips per number of travelers that go. Most of these details are explained very well in the contracts, and so those are things you want to look at, but you're working on agreement that says you plan the trip as a client, we will advertise and promote, we'll bring along people, and then we share revenue at the end. The components from your end, and probably one of the very most important one, is to select a spiritual guide. A popular priest, a popular bishop, someone that has experience and is comfortable traveling, a person people would like to spend time with. When you do that, you'll probably be selecting a destination at the same time, a place that your spiritual guide would like to go. You're going to interview companies and find one that you like their personalities, you feel comfortable dealing with them, you like the little nuances that they supply for their tours or added value that they give you to attract your business. You'll pick dates that work for your organization. You'll develop an advertising plan. Then you go out and promote the trip. This is about a year in advance, of course. Then at the end, you get to travel together and collect the revenue. So it can be a very trying time, but it's also a very exciting time to bring community together for travel and prayer at the same time. In practice, you're going to plan one of these webinars a good year in advance. You're going to promote about 9 months in advance. Airlines need to be booked. Lodges need to be booked. So the travel agencies want to make sure that they have the right amount of space and the right amount of transportation to fit your tour. You do the promotion, but your travelers make direct contact with the tour company for all arrangements and financial transactions. That means that you're not collecting money. You're not asking people to pay their final bills. You're not holding money and then transferring it to the travel agency. That relieves you of a lot of financial stress and pressure there. The tour companies update you with a list regularly of how many pilgrims are going along. And then you select a tour coordinator that comes along and handles the spiritual guide, and sometimes they'll ask you to be the person who hands out tips to the bus driver and some things like that. Many times this assistant might be someone that is helped really push the program and is receiving a free trip with you. But it's somebody that's involved and know what's going on, that you're comfortable handling cash and keeping it with them on the trip. My experience tells me that was really the only responsibility I had as a spiritual guide or the assistant to the spiritual guide on the trip. So I think, most people can be relatively comfortable with something in that direction. There are a few things you should know in terms of the agreement components. Really, you're going to nail down the date and duration of the trip. You want to make sure that the planned itinerary is explained to your satisfaction, that you, before you sign an agreement, you understand the flights, the transfers, the guides, the sites, the hotels, and the meals, all those kind of things. Pricing is always important so that you understand what the cost is. The agencies are going to give you a charge for land and air. They're going to say, this trip to Italy costs $1,750. And then they're going to offer you the opportunity to make some money by saying, what would you like to add to that as a revenue source for you, for your reward for advertising and bringing pilgrims? And what they might say to you is, your charge is, the land and air is $1,750. We suggest that you add on $200. We think we've got a great deal to sell at $1,950. So you'll work through those kind of contractual agreements with whatever company you decide to work with. You'll end up with a total price that the client will pay. And what's also very important in these contracts is to look for what the price does not include. And many times in pilgrimages that I've been on and tours that I've been into the Holy Land and places like that, breakfast is included and dinner is included, but lunch is not. And of course, it depends if dinner means the afternoon or the evening meal to you, but they provide the morning and the evening meal. So typically while you're out on tour, pilgrims will buy their own lunch, and that will be part of the tour program to go to a lunch area. So you'll want to watch for those kind of things when you're reviewing your agreements and your contracts so that they match up with the promotion material. And when you're having conversations with your contacts, you can make sure they understand what they do, what they're getting, what the value of their trip is, and what is not included. Part of the process in the agreement is that the company is the promoter. Some of them require a deposit, so it might be $500 or something like that, and that's really based on their ability to spend a little bit of time developing promotional material or looking for rates if the program does not go through. You'll want to know what the travel requirements are for registration. So there's usually a cycle for deposits and payments. First deposit is due here, second one by then, final by this time. There'll be a lot of small print on cancellations and how that works out. But you'll also want your travelers to understand what are passport and possibly visa requirements. One of the things we know is that today regulations require that your passport be valid for at least 6 months after you leave the country you're visiting. So you want to make sure you understand those things and any other of those fees that may be related to visas in countries while you're traveling. Trip insurance is pretty important. Some people are comfortable traveling without it. Others, it's very important. Find out if the travel agency allows you to, if they facilitate that for you or if they want you to go out and do it on your own. Many of them will have a program or suggest something for you to do. And then you want to find out what the payment cycle is. Not included in this is I did get a sample contract from one of the organizations that I've worked with and has been a member of the Catholic Press Association for many years, Select International. I will furnish that to Elizabeth if you're interested so that you can have something to review. There's no dollar figures in there, but you'll get a sense of what the language is like and what they ask you to do and many of those components. Support material is another important piece. In the print field where I primarily work, tour agencies provide brochures for us. They provide mock-up ads for our members to run in newspapers and those kind of things. And quite frankly, I'm not sure what they would offer in the broadcast media, but you may want to talk to them about printed materials that you can use to distribute or make available or put on your websites to get some visuals, those kind of things. And then you're going to want to find out, will they create ads for you? Will they create copy for you if you're going to do an audio presentation for your advertising? And the reason that I bring this up is that many times church people want to promote the religious aspect of the trip, but the tour companies really understand many of the motivational desires that people are responding to when they go on a pilgrimage. So they have a lot of good hints for you and the kind of language to use or the kind of way, you know, the ways to set up your ad, the things to make sure are included in it, and some of the things to avoid. So you'll want to ask about support material and assistance in getting that aspect ready for your promotional campaign. Trip responsibilities are not really great. That's one of the wonderful things about working these kind of pilgrimages. You help find the spiritual guide. You help promote it through your resources and your networking systems. You work with them to develop the components of those promotions. You designate a tour assistant, and you handle tips. Now, you do get some of the things that you'll be working with is working with the idiosyncrasies of your spiritual guide. So you want to make sure you find someone who's comfortable to work with, that you have an ease with. Many times they might ask that of the free trips, can I bring an assistant along? And lots of times we do that to accommodate them. Some spiritual guides might ask for business class or first-class seating on flights. You can negotiate those things with your travel agency. And once you get all of that worked out, then it'll be easy for you to promote the program. When you find out who really needs to be rewarded and maybe someone gets a free trip, you'll designate your assistant. And that person will, you know, kind of be the mediator between travelers who are having a problem or someone's sick, and we want to go to the tour guide to make sure we know who's traveling with us today and who's not. Many times people decide to skip a morning tour or an afternoon tour. So it's always good to have one person who is familiar with the community in some sort to be a little bit of a mediator in those organizations. And the last thing I want to tell you before taking questions is that the Catholic Press Association is an organization of roughly 225 publisher members whose newspapers and magazines go into about 10 million households. And these are some of the organizations that we have used and our members have used to travel and to earn money on their programs. And after answering some questions, and if this is an area you're interested in, I'd be happy to get together with Elizabeth afterwards and get the contact information for all of these organizations, and I'll let you do some interviewing on your own. So with that, I'm going to conclude this part of the information. Be happy to answer many, many questions for you and see what we can discuss in terms of how this might be successful for your organization. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tim. That was a great presentation. Kind of give me an idea of what is what's available. You know, I hear listening to Catholic radio the opportunity for pilgrimages and other travel opportunities available to and from various apostolates, and I always wonder kind of how does that all work, and is it a lot of work? And it sounds like there's really a way to partner up with an organization to be able to kind of offer these sort of benefits to not only our listeners, but also benefit ourselves financially. And the first question I had, and you maybe kind of answered it with this last slide here, which is there a short list of companies that are recommended? And that might be the short list there, but how important is it that these companies or who we might work with be willing to work with a religious organization or even be Catholic focused?
Well, that's a great question, and I'll answer it by saying all of these organizations, that's exactly what they do. All of the tours that we've gone on and all that they've planned have been Catholic-focused tours, and that's why I used the headline at the beginning of a pilgrimage instead of a tour. Mm-hmm. So the people we travel with are going for a religious and a spiritual reason. And so mm-hmm. all of these tours are based from a Catholic point of view.
Okay.
That's who they
all
work
right.
with.
Okay, good. So then one of the questions I had is it best to work with someone local? Someone who's close to where we're physically located, or doesn't that really matter too much?
I haven't found that to be the point as strongly as the spiritual guide being someone who's known locally.
Okay.
So sometimes ordinary might say, I've worked with this entity or this company before, and if we're going to do this, I'd like to work with them. That's their comfort zone. So we have found that the spiritual leader is more important than working with someone local in that regard.
Okay. All right, interesting. And when we talk about the scope of these pilgrimages, we're not necessarily talking international as a requirement. It can be domestic as well, correct?
Yes, I believe they can. In fact, I haven't done any that are domestic, but we've always done international ones. So I think that's a great question to ask the folks. Another question I would ask in the interview area might be, have you worked with a broadcast entity on these tours, and how are they different from the references that we got from a primarily print medium association?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Those were the questions that popped up into my mind when I was listening to your presentation, and when it talked about, you know, promoting, you know, I would hope that those folks who are listening and who will listen to this will get the idea that that's going to be a key part of what we can be involved with, and that's providing this audio, I guess, component of it. At least I would hope we could develop some spots to be able to promote and handle some things. But that can't be the only thing, because there are a lot of other people, I think, who may not listen, who would enjoy going on a pilgrimage, and they're going to need some other resources to be able to, I guess, have a comprehensive marketing plan. And I guess you can't really underscore too much the amount of advanced planning and promotion to this whole thing for a successful pilgrimage. Is that right?
Oh, that is. And the reason for that is that the cutoff dates, you know, hit 2 months, 3 months before the trip actually takes place. So if you anticipate that you might have, you know, 75 travelers and you only have 50, they need to change how many buses that are coming and how many airline seats are reserved, how many hotels are held. So there's a lot of pre-planning that takes place, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there typically a minimum threshold that has to be met? I take this back. I know that you have to have a certain minimum to be able to, let's say, hold a pilgrimage, but I'll take in the case of our station here. We're in a rural area. It's not very heavily populated, and so the amount of potential pilgrims that we have to draw from is kind of small. So if we had to fill, let's say, a 50-seat pilgrimage to Rome, we might have a hard time doing that, but we might be able to do 20 to 25. Is there how flexible is it for size of a pilgrimage?
Well, Jeff, I think that's another really good question. So I've seen them go as small as 20. And one time we ran a promotion in a small area with a relatively new bishop. And I think there must have been a lot of other programs going because of the Year of Mercy. And we only got, I think, 11 travelers. We had to partner them up with another tour that was going. So, and I think they ended up with about 20 on that trip altogether. So in kind of relation to the idea of, do I need a local or can I have a tour company that's not from my area, you have the opportunity with smaller stations like that, the same as we would have with smaller newspapers, to partner up. So I could have 5 small diocesan newspapers in a particular state or a geographic region that could advertise and promote and together get enough people to go on a trip. All right? So I think if you're going to do this as independent locations, then once again, this would be part of the discussion you're having with the tour company that you're selecting, is that we're trying to do something on a small and intimate basis of possibly 20 travelers. And what would that look like? And, you know, that's going to really reduces the amount of profit you can make, because let's say a bus holds 30 people and you only have 20. So now do I drop one big tour bus and go down to 2 different shuttle buses? If I go from 60, do I need 2 big buses? And once I have that second big bus, any person I get extra is kind of additional profit because the bus has been paid for. So there are those kind of parameters that take place. And a lot of the tour companies will give you grids to look at to see how that profit margin changes with additional travelers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. That's good information to have regarding something like this. Should someone who might be listening undertake? But I think it's definitely a nice benefit that you can have for your local communities to be able to offer, you know, an exciting religious, you know, pilgrimage experience for your listeners, who then can go back and talk to other listeners and kind of have a goodwill benefit for your station, which can only help, you know, to evangelize and to be able to expand the knowledge of the station, which we're always trying to do. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up the phone lines and see if there is anyone who might be listening right now who may have a question to ask of Tim. And we've got plenty of time, so feel free to go ahead and ask. Well, it is a cold December evening.
Yes. one of the things I might suggest, Jeff, is that with this list of partners, they all have websites, and a nice thing to do is to take a look at them and see some of the types of tours that they offer. And you'll get to see the Marian shrines and Italy and Ireland and Poland and many of those kind of places, and you'll get a sense of how long the trips are, what other people are paying for them, you know, and those kind of things, and give you some idea of what might be good for your community and how you can plan plan your trip.
It's a good idea. All right. Don't want to keep it silent for too long.
All right.
Is there any questions out there? If there isn't, for those of you who might be listening to this recording, there will be the PowerPoint presentation will be posted along with this audio. So if you want to take a look at the companies that are listed and the other other components to responsibilities regarding planning and executing one of these pilgrimages, you'll be able to find it there on the Catholic Radio Association's website for members. So with that, any other parting thoughts you might have, Tim? Anything you might want to let us know about the Catholic Press Association that we may not know or we might be able to benefit from as a broadcast entity?
Well, the Catholic Press Association has been for a long time primarily a print-based organization. And over the last few years, that has begun to change. We are getting many more diocesan and religious order communications directors are joining the association. Our annual conference is now called the Catholic Media Conference because of the more diverse group of people who attend. And this year we're holding our annual conference in Quebec City, Canada, one of the oldest dioceses and basilicas in North America. And next year it looks like we're going to be offering people the opportunity to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and visit two wonderful shrines, one the Marian Shrine and the other, of course, Lambeau Field. So I invite anyone to take a look at the Catholic Press Association and the Catholic Media Conference. We welcome you as members. We have many large publisher organizations like EWTN and Franciscan Media, who are members of the organization, as well as the USCCB. And stop in at a Catholic Media Conference if you get the opportunity somewhere. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, absolutely, Tim. It's great to have you here to tell us about this, because it's something that I've never heard of before, and think it's a pretty unique opportunity. Should we undertake it, and should anybody else undertake it as a radio postulate to be able to offer such a thing? I think it could be a step up in image and in a way to raise some revenue for your station and opportunity to travel. So with that, thank you, Tim, so much for joining us. This presentation has been recorded. It will be posted on the Catholic Radio Association's website within a couple of days, most likely tomorrow. We thank Tim once again for joining us, and remind you that next month, January 2017 already, January 10th, the second Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be joined by John George from RF South. He'll be talking technology, specifically automating transmitter readings and all that other good stuff regarding all that compliance with the FCC. So ought to be a good one, something I'm interested in as a station manager, trying to automate a lot of the work that gets done. So with that, join us next month, January 10th, 2017. And I'll be back, and I think I'll wrap up. Once again, thank you, Tim, and we'll speak to you soon again, I hope.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and I'll make sure you get the PowerPoint and the draft contract.
Very good. Well, thank you once again. Hope everyone has a blessed Christmas and a happy new year. Signing off.
You too.
Bye now.